This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
Welcome back to Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9. It's our Mardi Gras Mad Wednesday special. And right now we've got on the line one of the performers who's performing in the festival right now and doing a show in the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Festival. Please welcome Stephen Falls, who's performing in Confessions of a Mormon Boy. Stephen, how's it going?
Hey, really good. It's great to be here in Australia. I'm just having an amazing time.
Now, you've been doing previews of Confessions of a Mormon Boy already, haven't you, in Sydney?
He just opened, and the response has been tremendous. There's just so much goodwill, and all the queer spiritual community leaders showed up opening night, all kinds of activists and people, and then the audiences are just so mixed and delicious. So it's everything I was hoping for.
Now, you've been performing this show all around the world. Is it daunting when you're doing a one-man show like this to kind of dive in and doing it all alone?
You know, I do have a team locally, but yeah, I spin this by myself. And what's nice is I do travel lightly. So as a storyteller, I don't have elaborate sets, but I do have my light cues, my sound cues, and we get to the theater. I start doing press like this, and we start doing a few rehearsals, and then all of a sudden, we're into the Mormon boy. I'm on the Mormon boy treadmill wherever I go. And yesterday, I have this Mormon boy stick that I took to the Sydney Opera House, uh-huh. And then I was in Boots and Suits. And so you'll see me all over the festival with this big laminated poster on a great big stick. And I call it my Mormon boy stick. And so I just take this wherever I am, and it's like I'm my own best billboard too. So it really is, I'm on a mission to share this Mormon boy message.
As promotional images and posters go, it is a really good one. It's got you in two very different extremes. One in a nice suit standing there with the good book, and another one with your shirt off looking quite sexy, because the story of Confessions of a Mormon Boy is going from one extreme to another, where the transformation story of a perfect Mormon boy in Utah to a rent boy in Manhattan. So it's certainly, I mean, it ticks those boxes when it goes from one extreme to another. When you kind of think about what that story means and what that means, it's quite both sexy and fun, but really intense, really, from a storyline point of view, isn't it?
Well, I really do try to make it funny. So there's a lot of humor. A little, you know, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. True. And we're dealing with, you know, excommunication, divorce, losing your life, losing your kids, and then coming to New York with all the hopes and dreams, and you come out in the year 2001 in New York City, and the party is on, and how do you cope with so many different ways to go? Mm. And how my story goes is I end up being the best little rent boy you could possibly want to try to be. And how does that work out? So, we're dealing with chemsex and crystal meth, and we're dealing with what I consider top-shelf human trafficking.
Wow.
And, you know, before we know it, this young dad is in trouble. So how do we get out of that? And what's really exciting is that I did this show in 2006 off-Broadway, and then I've been touring. But lo and behold, the themes are just as timely as they were.
Yeah,
I have about two more years of youth that I can really
squeeze out of it.
Yeah, and then take this message around the world. I go to South Africa coming up. I'm on my way to Norway soon after this, but then local stops in the States, like I'll be in Palm Springs in April. But it's a real dream to come true to be able to come to this corner of the world and share the story.
Well, when you talk about things like that, like there's so many different levels to it. Like, I mean, I know what we're touching on from the rep boy point of view, but when you're talking about a person who's very involved in their faith and religion and then coming to the realization of who they are at a later point in their life and stepping into this world that's completely different and completely foreign to them on so many levels, and what that means both from their religious point of view to our queer culture, there's so much there that the themes do really resonate for people in a lot of different ways. Everyone has something they can grab a hold of.
Yeah, and even the gay community is evolving, because now with marriage equality, that changes the game a little bit.
Yeah,
because there actually is, unfortunately and fortunately, a connotation of monogamy that comes with marriage.
Yeah,
even if the honeymoon period of your relationship. So the gay community is shifting. The spiritual community is shifting. Who are we? And I just want to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Because I think in some ways we need to raise the bar on human relationships and, well, across the board, whether it's in certain aspects of the gay community and then certainly when it comes to these spiritually, you know, I deal with spiritual abuse and religious violence against the LGBT community. But that happens with any straight person
yeah.
that doesn't fit in the box, too.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned today, not so much about the quantity of our rights, but the quality of our lives.
Yeah.
When our quality goes up, everything rises.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, jumping back to the play, you said that you had like a lot of spiritual leaders and activists. A lot of people have come to really come and support the play since it's been on at Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. What has been the response like from a religious point of view from people when they've experienced the show and the subject matter in regard to the show?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, it's like I'll have Jews or Methodists
yeah.
or evangelicals. You know, one of my co-producers grew up evangelical, and this is his story on certain levels. So what's great is that people will come up to me and say, you know, you gave me courage to come out to my rabbi.
Yeah.
Or did you steal my journals? I'm Lutheran.
Mm.
And so when you speak with a specificity, and in this case, it's Mormondom and Mormon Americana and Mormonism, it translates universally. So yeah. if I go to see Fiddler on the Roof, which I've actually been in a lot, you know, that's my story too, and I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
So what I've had to do is create something that's universal, that lands universally through the specificity of my particular life. And that's the beauty of storytelling. We all have a story, and we need to really just own who we are and trust that it lands universally.
Yeah. We also have these spaces where we feel like, our relationship to religion needs, for so many years, religion has had to be separate from our sexuality. Spirituality and sexuality haven't been able to sit in the same space. And it's really great that we're getting to a place now where we're realizing that doesn't need to be the case. So when you're playing with these themes and looking at things like that, like one of the things that grabbed me, it's really topical now in Australia especially, is, you know, part of the things focused on in this play are conversion therapy, excommunication. Conversion therapy right now here in Australia is massive. We're really trying to create a lot more awareness about it. In the past 3 years, the conversations we are having have really evolved into what conversion therapy actually is, because I think a lot of people think it's massive extremes instead of smaller ones. And it's really great that you're able to really bring this experience in this way to life so it can help with that conversation on so many levels.
Yeah, conversion therapy, reparative therapy is what I called it. But, you know, it's more known, I think, by conversion therapy, thanks to Boy Erased.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of conversation that's happening. And Anthony Van Brown, who's written this amazing book, A Life of Unlearning.
It's wonderful.
We've become good friends and talking about his experiences. And so I was one of the first people to really go into this reparative therapy in the early 90s, which was very seductive how it was packaged.
Mm.
It was packaged as something more scientific and not so faith-based. My father is a physician, and even though he's a super-duper practicing Mormon with a bit of cognitive dissonance, and you know his faith leads him into a little bit more mysticism than I'm comfortable with today, you know, I grew up with a logic. So if this really works on a scientific level and there's some things to tweak to straighten me out a little bit more so I can have all of that straight male white privilege, the Mormon dad privilege, why not go for it?
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. And what I learned was that my sexual orientation is not an addiction and it's not something that can change. And I also learned that this therapy is quackery. It's pure and simply the bloodletting of the 21st century. And so there, unfortunately, are probably people today that still believe in bloodletting, but that doesn't mean it should be legal.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's something we're really working on fighting in our political and legal systems here in Australia right now. So Confessions of a Mormon Boy kind of comes at a really powerful time for us, and it's great that you've been able to come. Now, you're doing the show in Sydney and in Melbourne, so it's you've got another performance this Friday, I believe. You're performing in Sydney this Friday at the Giant Dwarf, and then coming to Melbourne next week at Chapel Off Chapel, and then heading back to Sydney again to do the show. That's a crazy schedule.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you just, in fact, I wish I was doing the show every night, because if I'm here, I might as well be telling the story. But, you know, we're on a limited budget, but it's amazing. The word of mouth is just like going like wildfire.
Well, that's one of the things why I love the fact that you are doing this, where you do the show, then head to Melbourne, then come back to Sydney. It really creates this, because that's the same thing for me. All over my social media last week was Confessions of a Mormon Boy. Anthony Van Brown, he had his picture up with you on his social media, and people were talking about it, which is why I wanted to reach out. And it's instead of doing a couple of nights back-to-back, doing it this way really gives that opportunity for people to go, yeah, I want to go and see that. Get your ticket, you know. I mean, yes, you are doing Melbourne over just three nights, but at Chapel Off Chapel from the 6th to the 8th, but this is why we do it in Sydney. This is why we put the show on earlier, so to get the attention and get people talking about it, which is really great.
Well, yeah, and the last, and I can't wait to go visit Melbourne. I mean, that's really exciting.
We love Melbourne.
And the Giant Dwarf is this really dynamic, interesting space, and the crew there is just amazing. They're just like bending over backwards to make sure that the cues are right. I've got this stage manager, this crackerjack named Nathan, and you know, I've got all these sound cues, all these light cues, and he's just doing, you know, the best he can, and he's doing great. And what we can do is we can add seats in this space.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's a nice thing. So if we have this, you know, over-the-top huge audience on the 9th, that would just be fantastic.
So that means we've just got to, everyone, you've got to get out there, get your tickets to head along, if you're in Sydney, to Confessions of a Mormon Boy this Friday. Head on to the Giant Dwarf, jump onto the Mardi Gras website and grab your tickets is the best way to do it. And if you're in Melbourne, of course, you can do that by jumping to chapeloffchapel.com.au and get your tickets for next week when you come down to Melbourne. I think one of the things I love when looking at the show, you see a lot of it online, but there's just so many levels to it and so much that people can relate to. And when you're talking about it, the fact that you're talking about how much you use humor, I'm really excited to see what that comes through and the different levels that comes through from a performance perspective.
And I've got a new joke, a Trump joke that I've added. You just got to hear this. It's the biggest laugh of the night. You
okay.
Just got to. And it has to do with Melania, too. So come hear the Trump joke. It would be worth the whole price of admission.
I was about to say, you've got plenty of material to work on there, haven't you?
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, and I want to do a shout-out to the dads out there, the gay dads, who have their kids biologically. Sometimes a lot of gay authors don't have kids, let alone biological kids. So this really speaks to what it is to have choices when you have kids here. And how that affects everybody. And so the show is also about how I stepped up to the plate to be the best dad I could be after going through many extremes. So it's about being a dad. There's a real big coup de théâtre, they call it. The climax is something you may have never, ever seen before. And that's why the show continues to endure. My director originally was Jack Hofsis, who won a Tony Award for The Elephant Man on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Under his direction, he passed away 2 years ago, but under his direction, he really helped me craft something that I think is theatrically smart. And as a theater piece, you're going to appreciate the craft that we've been working on for years and years. So there you are.
I think from a queer perspective as well, it's just really great. One of the really brilliant things, both at Mardi Gras and even when we just recently had the Midsummer Festival in Melbourne, is there's a real need for storytelling about our communities that really focus on things that they haven't before. Over the course of my life, I've seen a lot of plays about couples deciding to have threesomes or just people coming out and realizing they're gay and coming out. And it's great that a show like this, you know, exploring what it means to be a gay dad, what it means in our world, what it means in our relationship, the narratives of parts of our communities that we need to hear more of and don't get to hear enough of is there. So it's fantastic.
Well, thanks. And, you know, we as gay men, I believe that we all people, gay or straight, will have an adolescence.
Yeah.
And there comes a time when the adolescence needs to end because it's exhausting.
I don't know. I'm still keeping it as strong as I can. I'm just firing on.
But, you know, it is. I do offer a little bit of, we've come through these extremes and come through the other side. And, you know, what is it and this might not sell the most tickets, but, you know, what is it to cycle down to a kind of a normal, you know, having gone through many things, how do we reclaim some of possibly the values we grew up with still as gay men? Are they heteronormative values, or is it just healthy sexuality and healthy ways of being? So we have a lot of discussions about this, and I'm not your three. I think we talk about a threesome in this show, but there's a lot of options out there. So, and our stories are the only thing we have to change the world. And true stories of personal transformation are the stories that get me really excited.
Well, you know what? I'm really looking forward to coming and seeing the show now. And so should all of you. Everybody, go and see Confessions of a Mormon Boy performing, if you're in Sydney, this week as a part of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras at the Giant Dwarf on Friday night. And then you can head to Chapel Off Chapel in Melbourne next week to come and see it from the 6th of 8th to the 8th of March at Chapel Off Chapel. And then back in Sydney, oh, you're just moving, jumping left and right, on Saturday the 9th of March. So there's plenty of opportunities, whether you're in Sydney or Melbourne, to get along and go and see Stephen Falls in Confessions of a Mormon Boy. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on Mad Wednesday.
My pleasure. Thank you. Keep smiling.
You're on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.